Hey, good morning. My name is Jack Fisher, and as Eric said, I get the privilege of serving with Grace Church. So Pastor Derek, who was here last week, he's a part of our team. So we are very thankful that we can work together. I really appreciate Derek, and if I remember right, he talked about God being light. So there's some connections between last week being light and our eyes being open today to see the light of God's word. So a little bit about me. I was telling some people this morning, this is my first time in Monunk. I've never been here. I was born and raised in Ohio, in the top left corner. So if you've ever heard of Toledo, we were about 45 minutes west of there. I grew up in Ohio. I went to school in Indiana, over by South Bend, Mishawaka area. I met my wife in Michigan. We currently live in Morton, Illinois, but we spent 2 years of our lives in Dallas, Texas, being married together. So we've been all over the place, and I'm just excited to be back in her hometown. My wife is from Morton. That's how we ended up back there. And growing up, if you're familiar with the Bible, when you get to the New Testament, you see church partnerships. And this is the first one for me, Eric, where I'm starting to see the richness of partnerships of churches, because it reminds me the gospel isn't just for me. It's not just for you. It's not just for Redeemer. It's not just for Grace. It's for God's kingdom. And we get to partner together to further his kingdom, kingdom of light, into this world of darkness. So I'm so thankful for our partnership. We've only met twice, but Eric, I really appreciate you in this church. So as he also prefaced, we're going to be in Psalm 119 this morning. Psalm 119, 18, and we're going to start with an exercise. Pretty simple. I want everyone just to close their eyes. With your eyes closed, I would imagine that what you see is darkness. Psalm 119, 18, I'm going to read it twice, and we can keep our eyes closed. It says this, "Open my eyes so that I may contemplate wondrous things from your instruction." Keep them closed one more time. "Open my eyes so that I may contemplate wondrous things from your instruction." You can open your eyes. As you open them, you see light. You see people in this room. You see the colors. You see what fills this room. And my hope today is that we would see how we need God's help to open his word and to understand it more. And there's a story that I have in my life when I had to ask someone for help. And I don't know about you, asking for help is not always fun. It's always humbling because I want to do things. I want to be able to fix them. And when I have to ask for help, it's kind of weak, it seems. I want to do things myself. But there was a time when my wife and I went on our honeymoon and I really needed help, and I found out it's a good thing to ask for help. So here's what happened. We went to Maui, an island in Hawaii, on our honeymoon. And one of the days there, we had planned to take a trip called the Road to Hana. Has anyone heard of Road to Hana? Over here. So what it is, Maui's not that big of an island. You could drive around it if you wanted to. But there's this one city on the far west side of the island called Hana. There's one road to get there, and it's called the Highway to Hana. I think it's what it's called. And it's estimated that there's about 600 turns and approximately 54-ish one-lane bridges. I was like, this is awesome. Of course I want to do this. This looks so fun. So we got in our rental Jeep, and we decided that we're going to go to Hana. And there's nothing really at Hana. It's more just it's the trip that you're going for. And on the ride there, there's a bunch of different paths off the road that you could take if you so pleased. So we thought this was a good idea. And we turned left out of the highway, over a few hills, and out open to our eyes, a beautiful black sand beach. I didn't really know what those were until I saw them. It was fantastic. There was no one there. One-way road, and we got out, we parked our Jeep, and we took some pictures, and then we just kind of sat there and said, this is awesome. Till this day, it's still the most beautiful place I've been to. We go and get in the Jeep to turn around and come back, and as we're turning around, I get too close to the water, not that close, but enough where the sand is a lot softer than it should have been. I'm in a Jeep. We get stuck. There's one road that goes to Hana. We're on a path that not a lot, that I hadn't seen a person down there for the 30, 40 minutes we're down there, and our car is stuck. I'm like, oh no. So I try to put it in four-wheel drive, and I can't do it, and my mind says, it's a rental car. They disallowed this. So I just started digging out the tires and trying to get it, and I couldn't do it. When another Jeep came down that path, I was so excited to ask for help. I said, I need you to help me get our Jeep out of the sand so we can take it back to the rental place and not be stuck. This guy graciously jumped in the driver's seat, put it in four-wheel drive, and drove out. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm humbled today. Even as I talk to car mechanics in the room, I'm like, that's not a good showing for me. But in that time, it was a really good thing to ask for help. And it's a good thing also for us when we open God's word to ask for help so that, as the exercise showed, he can open our eyes to his word. And there's two principles, two points that I want to draw from this text. And I'll say them both, and then we'll look at them in turn. But the first principle is this. It's that God's word, God's instruction, God's law is full of wonderful things. That's our first principle. God's word, God's law is full of wonderful things. And then the second principle we'll look at after this one is that we need God's help to behold those wondrous things. So pretty simple. God's word is full of wondrous things. Second, we need God's help to behold those. So let's start with the first one. God's word is full of wondrous things. And I think the context of Psalm 119 is amazing. I had a professor in seminary who would say the key to the text is the context. So if you want to understand what a text is about, you look at what's around it in the broader context of the book, and then the broader context of the testament it's in, and then the Bible. So the key to the text is the context. So Psalm 119, verse 18, falls in Psalm 119. This chapter is the largest chapter in the Bible, both by verse and by word count. There's 176 verses in it, which is amazing. There's 176 verses. And here's what's fascinating about it. All but seven verses contain an explicit mention of God's word, of God's law, of God's precepts, of God's statutes, or his commandments. So that means that there's 169 verses about God's instruction in this one chapter. The author of this chapter is David. And David is someone who would recognize that the word of God is full of wondrous things. 169 verses explicitly mentioning God's word, God's law, God's instruction, God's precepts, his commandments. And this is not the only petition that he has. Psalm 119:18 is a prayer. It's a petition asking God to open our eyes. But there are numerous other petitions within this psalm that David prays. So here's just a few. In verse 12, he asks that God would teach us his word. In verse 19, that God would not hide his word from us. In verse 27, that he would help us to understand his word. In verse 36, that he would incline our hearts to his word. Verse 88, that he would give us life to keep his word. He keeps going. Verse 113, that he would establish our steps in his word. Verse 133, that he would establish our steps in his word. And then the last one, 176, that he would seek us when we go astray from his word. The purpose of that list is to show that David really sees that God's word is full of wondrous things, and he's petitioning God throughout the psalm, help me love your word, help me follow your word, help me understand it. If I go astray from it, bring me back to it because it is good. How wondrous is the mystery? So David is seeing the benefits of how good God's word is. And a simple question for us as we consider David in this psalm is, how about us? How about our hearts? Do we value God's word and believe that it's full of wondrous things? Or is it just kind of a book where we bring to church on Sundays and open it up? How do we view God's word? Is it full of wondrous things? Is it just full of lots of words? David challenges us in how he presents it as full of wondrous things. I wonder how we would answer that question. How do we view God's word this morning? As I was thinking about just my heart and said, what are some of the things about God's word, God's instruction that makes it wondrous? Three of them came to mind. So if you're sitting here saying, maybe I don't think God's word is wondrous, well, I'd give you three reasons, and of course there's many more. But the first one is this. The Bible is wondrous because of its source. All right, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. What that means is that when the Bible speaks, God speaks. It was written by human authors, but the Bible gives us language that they were carried along by the Spirit so that what God intended them to write, he put it into the scriptures. No other literature, no other short story, no other poem can say that its source is from God as he inspired its writers. So that's one reason the Bible is wondrous. Its source is from God himself, which is just alone is amazing, and we could stay on that one for a long time. The second one is this. The Bible is wondrous because of its stories. There are some amazing and really surprising stories in the Bible, and here's a list of some of them. It's got stories of unlikely people being used by God. Think of David and Goliath. It's got stories of people being raised from the dead. Think of Lazarus and Jesus. It's got stories of people walking on water, stories of fire falling from heaven, of shepherds defeating giants, of seas parting and walls falling. Stories of men in fiery furnaces and lions' dens. It's got stories of lepers being healed and lame walking. It's got talking animals in it. I would argue again, no other source of literature, no other short story, no other poem is full of this many wondrous stories. In my role at Grace, I serve with the high school students, and one phrase that I tell them often is the Bible is 66 little books telling one story about Jesus. There's an Old Testament, there's a New Testament. Combined, you have 66 books of the Bible, and when you put them together, you get one book, which we know as the Bible, and it tells the story about Jesus. Other people have said that it's a unified story leading up to Jesus, and as we consider the stories, we have to remember that they're all pointing to Jesus, that they're all directing our eyes to Jesus. So I would argue that the Bible is wondrous because of its source and because of its stories. The third one, the Bible is wondrous because of its Savior. In Genesis 3 is when we are introduced to the fall of mankind through sin, and the rest of the Bible from Genesis 3 to the end is God's rescue mission of him pursuing his people. It's about a perfect God who pursues a sinful people. And it truly is a wonderful Savior who would love us. In fact, the book of Isaiah says that he's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Savior of the Bible makes it wondrous. So just as David in Psalm 119 would delight in and find joy in God's word, and we can ask ourselves, how do we fare with the Bible? I hope those three points are a good reminder for us that the Bible truly is full of wondrous things. And here's a simple phrase, two words, reminders remind. Reminders remind. I set reminders on my phone for meetings. I set an alarm on my watch so I wake up in the morning to remind me to do certain things. This verse reminds us that God's word is wondrous, and we need that reminder because in our sinfulness, we forget it. In our ability to make idols out of everything we see, we can cling to other things and delight in that more than God's word. So reminders remind, and we need to be reminded, my heart, myself need to be reminded that God's word is full of wondrous things. So that's the first point. God's word is full of wondrous things. The second point is this, is that we need God's help to behold these wonders. We need God's help to behold these wonders. And here's what I love about this. If you remember, so David wrote 169 verses about God's word. I would think, just based on my human standard, that David didn't need God's help because he loved God's word already. But David models to us prayer and says, Lord, I still need you, even though I love your word and delight in it and find joy in it, I still need you to open my eyes so that I can contemplate, so that I can behold your wondrous law. David models this to us. There's a few other people throughout church history who say something similar to this line. Here's three quotes. One person has said, this is really simple. Dear God, if you do not teach me, I won't understand. That's a great summary of this verse. Dear God, if you don't teach me, I won't understand. Open my eyes. A second person has said this, without the light of God's Spirit, we'll be in the dark about God's word. Love that. Just when we close our eyes, if we are without the light of God's Spirit, we will be in the dark about God's word. One more. This is Spurgeon. He says this, if you do not understand a book by a departed writer, you are unable to ask him his meaning. Right? He's dead. You can't say, what do you mean? Because he's departed. But the Spirit, who inspired the Holy Scriptures, lives forever, and he delights to open the word to those who seek his instruction. I love that. The Holy Spirit, who inspired the Scriptures, delights to open our eyes to receive his instruction. And we sang about this, and we read these verses, that our eyes have been darkened, our minds have been darkened. And in fact, there's one more writer who says, it is not God who wants to keep us from grasping the wonderful truths of Scripture. It's not God who keeps us from wanting to do that. Rather, it is his enemy. The devil knows that we can't put into practice what we don't understand or what we don't contemplate. So as we consider just how we approach God's word, it's not so much that God's keeping it from us, and it's not so much that we are unable, but that there is an enemy who wants to keep us blind, who wants to keep our eyes darkened from the Scriptures. So how do we do this? Does this prayer show us that God's word is full of wonderful things and we need God's help, and what we do is just pray this prayer and God's going to start downloading information and understanding into our brains? Not quite. There still is a responsibility to pray and read God's word, to pray and study God's word, to pray and talk about God's word with others, but there's also some important doctrines that are really helpful here. So if you remember 2 Timothy 3:16 that I mentioned earlier, says all Scripture is breathed out by God. We know that to be the doctrine of inspiration, that the Holy Spirit has inspired the writings of Scripture, breathed out by God, so that what we have in the Bible is God's word himself, the doctrine of inspiration. There's another doctrine of the Holy Spirit that is called the doctrine of illumination, which is awesome. So if inspiration says, hey, here's how the Bible was written, the doctrine of illumination says, here's how the Bible can be understood. Through God's spotlight abilities to highlight and to open our eyes to behold God's wondrous thing out of his law. By ourselves, we are not able to study harder or think deeper or able to think ourselves into contemplating these things. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need his illumination to help us. I think of the imagery similar to closing our eyes or being stuck on a beach where I need help, of walking into a dark room where you can't see the hand in front of your face. You can't see anything in the room, but the room is full of wonderful riches. And you try to reach around and feel things, and you start bumping things. You notice, wow, this is loud, and there's just stuff in the room. But you can't see what it is until a light is turned on, and you see that the room is full of wonderful things. This is what we believe about the doctrine of illumination, that God will continually open our eyes so that we may contemplate, may behold wondrous things out of God's instruction. So point number one, we said God's word is full of wonderful things. Point number two, we said that we need God's help to behold these things. And kind of a third extra point here is, why does this matter? Is the point of beholding wonderful things so that we can just be amazed and say, wow, this is a wonderful book, and to say, thank you, Lord, for illuminating our hearts? Like, why does this matter that we would pray this prayer and that we would be like David and saying, ask us, God, help us, God, to illuminate our hearts? Why does that matter? A few other writers and people have used this language that says, you become what you behold. John Piper has said that. He said, you become what you behold. The ESV translation of this verse says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Other writers have said, you look like what you look at. So the idea of this prayer is not just, God, help me behold wonderful things, but the goal of this prayer, the heart of this prayer is, God, as I look at your word more, as I behold your word more, as I contemplate your word, would you form me into the person your word describes, which all again points to Jesus. So the purpose of this prayer is not just to sit back and say, wow, there's wonderful stories, but it's a prayer asking that as we behold God, he would transform us to be more like God. And this prayer for me has been such a helpful template. Because I don't know about you, but whether it's for work or my personal life, when I come to God's word and I open it, sometimes the last thing I want to do is pray. Though I know this verse, though I know that I need God's help to open my eyes, I rely on my experience. I rely on my training in school. And I think if I've got the right resources, I can understand this the way it's meant to be. But this prayer is a template, it's a petition of dependence, so that when we come to God's word, he would open our eyes. So that leads us to the application point. We've talked about God's word is full of wonderful things, we need God's help, and we've considered, why does that matter? A simple application is that we would pray this psalm when we open the Bible. I tell our students also that the best applications come from God's word. So when you come to a text and you say, how does this apply to me? If there's a principle straight from God's word, that should be the one that we're seeking to apply in our hearts. David models our application for us this morning, and that is to pray Psalm 119:18 when we open God's word. And I'm telling myself this, and I'm reminding myself to do this in a way that's not rushed, where I open it and I say, Lord, open my eyes to behold wonderful things, amen, and then I open it right away. I'm working on slowing down and realizing this is a dependent prayer because I need his help. So that's our simple application. What can we take from this message is, let's pray this when we open God's word, trusting that he would open our hearts. When we lived in Dallas, our church would always end each service with a benediction, and it was a song, and we always had to stand and hold out our hands, which I appreciated. It was just a symbol of our dependence on God, and it was a song that started, there's 6 lines that all start with the word help us. And it goes like this. It says, help us to be steadfast. Help us to be holy. Help us run from idols and worship you only. Help us by your spirit to follow after Jesus. Help us to remember that you are always with us. We'd sing that each Sunday. And it was such a reminder to me of as we were leaving the week, we need God's help. Similarly, in Psalm 119:18, we need God's help to open his word, to open our hearts to behold his word. Psalm 119:18 is a helpful template for us, model of prayer. And I'm just going to pray now for us to close, and we're going to take communion here in a second. But what I love too, if you remember this language of beholding and becoming, what you behold is who you become. When we take communion, we get an opportunity to behold Jesus. We do this in remembrance of Jesus, of his life, death, and resurrection. Not just remembering and thinking this is what he's done, but beholding what he has done. So this is great. We get an opportunity to behold Jesus this morning with the hopes that as we behold him, as we behold his word, we would become more like him. Not by us, but by his spirit. So let me pray, and then Eric will come and lead us through communion. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. Psalm 119 is full of verses that petition and ask for your help as we read your word. And Lord, we confess just in our sinfulness and as the enemy is working to blind our minds, Lord, we quickly forget that God's word is full of wonderful things. And to be honest, we find wonderful things elsewhere. But Lord, would you bring us back, as one of his petitions asks, when we stray from your word, would you bring us back to your word so that we would behold you? I pray for the people, Lord, in this room that you have brought here this morning, that this template of prayer would be one that is on our hearts each time we open your word, that you would open our eyes so that we may contemplate the wonderful things out of your instruction. Lord, as we turn our minds to communion and remembering what you've done, help us to keep our gaze upon Jesus. Help us to keep our contemplation and our beholding upon Jesus this morning with the hopes that as we look at him, we will look like him. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. It leads us, it guides us. It's even a light into our feet and a lamp into our path, God. We ask all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.